would like to use the rest of my time to say how appalled I am that people are bringing up the Holocaust. Do not use other genocides to describe this one. I have been...
Yeah, so you don't really get much more of a blatant Freudian slip than that one, folks. Don't bring up the Holocaust. You can't use other genocides to compare them to this one. But we're not committing genocide. Yeah, they know exactly what they're doing, folks. And the only question with it all is, why is it taking so long for the ICJ to come up with their verdict? Because it is so obviously a genocide. Incidentally, Slovenia and Indonesia have also jumped on board and are supporting South Africa in this claim. And of course, the ones that aren't supporting South Africa are all of the Western governments, the United States, Canada, UK, Australia, Germany, New Zealand. We can't see any international crimes being committed when there are international crimes and war crimes and brutal exterminations, targeting children, all sorts of stuff happening every single day in the Gaza Strip. We're not ethnically cleansing, but we're just cleaning out Hamas. And you look at the northern part of Gaza Strip, which used to be a city, now it looks like a ploughed field.
Thank you. Eventually, our borders will extend from Lebanon to the Great Desert, which is Saudi Arabia, and then from the Mediterranean to the Euphrates. And who's on the other side of the Euphrates? The Kurds. And the Kurds are our friends. So we have the Mediterranean behind us, the Kurds in front of us, Lebanon, which really needs the umbrella of protection of Israel. And then we're going to take, I believe we're going to take Mecca, Medina, and Mount Sinai and purify those places.
Yeah, how is this not genocide, folks? I mean, genocide takes many forms. But getting off Gaza for a moment or two, a lot of stuff going on in our countries as well. They're really pushing this whole digital ID thing. The WEF is pushing for a digital ID, saying how great it will be. And of course, it will be good for checking up on people's vaccine status as well.
Why? Because in order to open an account, you need to have an ID.
Right.
And I have to say that when I started this job, there were actually very little countries in Africa or Latin America that had one ubiquitous type of ID, and certainly that it was digital, and certainly that it was biometric. And we've really worked with all our partners to actually help that being, to grow this. And the interesting part of it is that, you know, yes, it is very necessary for financial services, but not only.
Sure.
You know, it's also good for school enrollment. It's also good for health, who actually got a vaccination or not. It's very good to actually to get your subsidies, you know, from the government. So this has not only effect to the financial services. It's a very important issue.
Yeah, it's pretty standard sort of behavior, folks, from these people. A lot of pushback, though. There's a senator in Australia, Senator Babbitt, who is petitioning against it. Petitions, I mean, you know, they don't really mean a lot, but at least it's something for people to get their teeth into. If you're an Australian, I suggest you go and participate in it. I mean, it's something. It's like the ICJ. It's pretty much a toothless tiger. And even if Israel is found guilty of war crimes, well, what's going to happen to it? Is it going to stop? Probably not. But it will help in swaying public opinion. Not that they really need much swaying at the moment. I mean, people are walking away from supporting Israel in droves, literally in droves. Some of the rallies that you've seen for Israel are literally pathetic, folks. You have, you know, maybe 1,000 or 2,000 people there, and the media will be saying 5,000-10,000 people when it isn't. Yeah, it's a few hundred or a couple of thousand at most. And the pro-Palestinian rallies, the anti-genocide rallies, are hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. So this is making a difference there. People are pulling away from the system in droves. And things like this genocide trial help. Things like the digital ID they're trying to push out. Digital cash they're trying to push out in Australia as well. They want digital currency, get rid of cash. But of course, we recently had the big Optus hack and all sorts of stuff like that. And then we had the whole banking system go down, the Westpac system go down a couple of weeks ago. And so now there's a big pushback to use cash, how cash is more reliable than anything else, and cash must be maintained. This is something I've been saying for a long time as well, folks. I mean, you know, we don't like the fiat system, but the fiat system of handing pieces of paper around to each other is certainly preferable to the fiat system where there is no paper exchanging hands and it's simply people doing it digitally. We don't want that. That would be absolute slavery if we let them get away with that sort of thing. So you know, it's good that there's a lot of pushback with this, folks. And it's coming from political sources as well. I mean, there's always wild cards in there. There's always people that can see what's going on and, you know, want to take measures and steps against it. I mean, like what's happening with the blockade in the Red Sea, you know, the Houthis and all this sort of stuff. There's always wild cards in there, folks. And they're trying to say, oh, the Houthis are blocking down trade and it's terrible. It's going to cause inflation, you know. Who gives a shit about inflation? There is thousands upon thousands of people being killed and people are actually worried about trade. It's incredible. It was actually a great little news section I saw, I think it was a UK station, where this woman just nailed it and totally embarrassed the reporters.
The administration should have acted sooner and faster, that hundreds of billions of dollars has been put at risk because the Houthis have held this area in the Red Sea at ransom.
Sorry, so just let me get this straight, Yelda. So we are bombing the poorest, one of the poorest countries in the world that has been under a humanitarian blockade. There has been famine. These people have been decimated. And we are bombing them because a couple of guys in dinghies in support for the Palestinians who are having a genocide committed against them. They're objecting to that and we're bombing them. Come on now. I mean, well, this is just an insane world for us to even think. I'm so sorry your Amazon packages are delayed. I really am. Like, I wish mine came on time. But, you know, genocide, guys, genocide. There are two mothers a day dying in Gaza right now. It's 109 days into a conflict in which a humanitarian crisis has been declared to the world day in, day out.
By the way, Dr. Francois, there are many who are Yemen watchers who monitor and follow the Houthis who say this is doing wonders for their branding, actually, mm-hmm. that it isn't just the Palestinian cause that they're focused on.
So call a ceasefire now and end the positive branding. If you want to stop the Houthis doing what they're doing, then call a ceasefire right now.
Do you genuinely believe that the Houthis would stop doing what they're doing?
They have literally said that that's why they're doing what they're doing. They have not previously blocked those routes for any other reason except this one. So yes, I do. And I also think the West needs to start to understand that you cannot just go around playing cowboys in the world. There are consequences to your actions. You cannot just go around bombing people's countries, ignoring international law and expect no repercussions. For every cause, there is a consequence. And just because you don't like a couple of guys trying to resist,
I mean, these the fact are that this is now prescribed terrorists.
Sure, according to Western governments.
Well, also according to the Yemeni people.
Yeah, which is a Saudi-backed government, which is essentially our people.
But the Yemenis who live, you know, under Houthi rule talk about the fact that this group continues to terrorise them as well.
Yeah, I'm no fan of the Houthis, apart from when they're blockading in favour of a ceasefire, which should have been called a long time ago. 25,000 people are dead in Gaza right now. There are over 60,000 people injured with no access to food, water, aid. How dare we have a conversation about trade when there are children right now being treated without anesthetic?
Well, the
there are things that require us to make some sacrifices, and this would be one of them.
They do have the global economy, global markets hostage.
Good for them. Ceasefire now. Okay. Ceasefire now.
We're going to have to leave it there. But Dr. Miriam Francois,
you cannot allow these people to be decimated and expect there to be no consequences.
I think that is a separate conversation. But
yeah, it's good to see that sort of stuff happening, folks. Now, like I said, there's a lot of pushback. There's a place in Australia is now like a meeting group as well. It's called My Place Australia. It's about building community, making connections, getting away from this system. Good to see those sort of initiatives coming online as well. There's all sorts of stuff that people are doing, folks. Major, major pushback. You know, people in their own way. But anything that is building community and bringing people together and getting people to realise just how fraudulent this system is a good thing. And I suggest you know, check into some of these things and you know, because things are going to get crazy. Like, this year's going to be really nuts. It's really going to be nuts. I mean, I've ultimately got a good feeling about it because I think no matter how much people deny it, I mean, there is an awakening because you can't help but see what's going on. You can't help but ask questions now, anyway. Even if, I mean, I wouldn't call it an awakening, but there's people asking questions that you never thought would be asking questions because it's all just coming straight onto their plate now. It's very, very obvious to see what's going on. So, well, So people are seeing it. So it's a good thing. I mean, even with what's going on with the pushbacks against the digital currency, the pushbacks against the digital ID, the awakening that this situation in Gaza is causing the world, you know, as I've said, the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. People are seeing a genocide happening on TV, happening on their cell phones, being live streamed in 4K, and they're going, hang on, this has to stop. Thousands of children are being murdered, and the devastation is just through the roof. You're seeing it every single day. All you've got to do is log on to Twitter or you know, TikTok or whatever, and you see so many videos. And people are seeing it, they're going, well, hang on, our governments could stop this, but they're not. Why? You know, and they're looking at what they've done in all of our countries. They brought all these migrants in, all the stuff that's going on in all of our countries. A lot of people are seeing it. I mean, this is stuff we've been talking about and warning people about for decades. I've been out here speaking on the front line about this very stuff since 2008. You know, all the stuff that's happening now is stuff that I incorporated in my first film in 2008, The Big Picture. I talked about weather wars. I talked about modifying the human genome. I talked about vaccines, transhumanism, how they're going to use food as a weapon. So much stuff that I put in there. And not just me, other people. There's been literally hundreds of people that have been predicting all of this stuff going on. And everyone's been calling us conspiracy theorists. And now they're seeing it unfolding right before their eyes. And they go, hang on, there's a problem here and I need to pay attention. And it's good. I mean, and like I said, it's going to get crazy. Things are going to get crazy. They're really pushing for World War III, trying to get Iran involved and everything. Like, Israel's bombing everybody. Israel's bombing the Houthis. Israel's bombing Gaza. They're bombing Lebanon. They're bombing Syria. I think there was some sort of an attack happened against Iran the other day. I believe it was Pakistan. Probably Israeli agents acting within Pakistan. Wouldn't surprise me, folks. You know, so they're really trying to push for World War III. And they want to bring in their Great Reset. They want to bring in this Chinese social credit system. They want this for all of our countries. But they've got to introduce it in a way that looks believable to the people. I mean, you can't just suddenly lock everybody down into a digital slavery system without it riding on the back of something else. And that's what a lot of this is about. You know, they want to break the system down but have it look like it's not their fault. It's just because Russia did this and Ukraine did that and the Palestinians did this and blah, 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 and it's nothing to do with us. We're just taking all these steps we can to try to restabilize the situation and get things back on track and keep the system flowing. We're doing all this stuff to try to help you. And of course, now that all this terrible stuff's happened, we're going to have to bring in more stringent guidelines and more stringent control in order to prevent it from ever happening again. Yeah, right. It's all contrived, folks. But again, you know, even within that, there are sometimes wild cards and wild players like the Houthis. I mean, even you've got to wonder whether that's planned or whether the Houthis are really causing damage. I mean, interestingly, they haven't actually killed anybody. They've stopped a few ships. They haven't hurt anybody. The United States and UK's response is to go and drop hundreds of bombs on civilians, the way they do, and to block off the Red Sea themselves so that no traffic and no transport can get through. And the Houthis have already said, we're only attacking ships that are bound for Israel, that are involved with Israel. We're letting everybody else through. So there's no reason for the United States to have done that. But of course, they do that so that all world trade slows down and everybody will blame the Houthis. I know it's the Houthis' fault. They blocked off the channel. They're bombing ships. It's not safe to go through. Not true, folks. Not true. But that's the way they play it. Look, this place is coming along, hey? It's definitely coming along, folks. Still a lot of damage, but all the main areas are coming along, which is really, really good to see. So, yeah. But like I was saying, everything's breaking down, and it's going to get ugly. It's going to get ugly. Lots of people are going to die if they can kickstart World War III. And you're talking about Disease X as well. Disease X is going to be 20 times worse than COVID, they say. How would they know this? They just seem to know all these things, don't they? Aren't they remarkable people? Just born with the natural insight, I guess. Of course, nothing to do with the jab they gave everybody, nothing to do with the 5G system they're rolling out. It's all just this thing because you use too many plastic bags and you don't support their climate change policies. And everything they say is backwards with climate change. Like, everything they say is backwards with everything. But anyway, getting back to the point, like I said, it's going to get crazy this year. But there's always opportunity in crisis. There really is. And as I've said before, You know, you've got to be able to adapt to anything that comes. Realize that this system that you believe is real is a fiction anyway. I mean, that's the matrix. The matrix is your belief in authority, your belief that the system is real. It's just an idea. You know, they write all this stuff down on paper and we go along with it and we think it's actually real and it means something. It's not. And all that's going to break down. And even with disease X and all the stuff they're going to do, you're going to be finding that a lot of the people that are dying from disease X are actually people who had the jab, people who are stupid enough to have it to begin with. As I've said before, you can look at this as a form of soul purification, a form of the culling of the herd, and really they're getting rid of all the stupid people. And the only way, you know, the stupid people being the ones who had the jab and believed the narrative, but the only way they're really going to succeed getting through it, if all the stupid people die off, is by putting fear into you, putting fear into the people who are awake, and using that fear to corral them into the new system with the digital ID and the social credit scores and all the shit they want to do. And the way to get through that is through non-compliance. And the easiest way to non-compliance is, again, to look at what these people are doing to the world. Look at what they've done with Gaza. As I've said, the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. Palestine, Gaza and West Bank is a method of warehousing and surplusing human beings. And that's what they intend to do to the rest of the world. We can see this now. So many people can see it. And so this is what is waking so many people up. So, you know, the problem when people look at it is they say, well, yeah, I see the problem now. What group can I join? What movement can I join to heal this problem? And then we'll all do what? We'll all march down the street and give lip service to each other and march around the block and shout our slogans and then go home and think we've done something. Now, you don't need a leader. You don't need a movement. You need a worldwide shift in consciousness. That's really all that has to move, is the brain cells in people's heads. I mean, it's great to show solidarity in some of these marches and things. You get out there, look at our numbers. There's 400,000 of us here and we all feel the same way. It's inspiring. It can be good. I mean, and if you need that, well, sure, keep doing it. And you should keep doing it anyway, because it's showing the world just how much people aren't buying into this whole genocide narrative we're hearing from Israel. It's exposing Israel for what it is. Israel will never recover from what it's done here. It will never have the credibility or the sympathy that it had prior to October last year. It's now seen as a pariah. It's now seen as a genocidal state, which is carrying out genocide. That young girl even admitted it at the start there. What a Freudian slip, eh? She's probably so intent on using the word appalled, because it makes her sound like she's an adult, that she forgot what she's supposed to be appalled about. Her parents probably said, oh, you tell them you're appalled that they're using the Holocaust, because, you know, we've got to be careful. We don't want them comparing these other genocides with this genocide. That's probably what her mother told her, that was the logic behind it. But then she actually said what her mother told her and then realized what she'd said. All this sort of stuff is serving to wake people up, folks. And, I mean, there's still information coming out from Gaza as well. And all the lies that Israel's telling. They're saying that they've sent in 10,000 aid trucks into Gaza in the last 3 months.
Today, the 10,000th truck carrying humanitarian aid entered the Gaza Strip. Since the beginning of the war, Israel has increased its capacity to perform security checks on the trucks by adding security equipment, increasing working hours and manpower, and opening an additional inspection site. Of the trucks sent, close to 99% were approved by Israel.
But Hamas is hijacking the trucks. You know, so Hamas has hijacked 10,000 trucks, have they? Where have they hidden them, these 10,000 trucks in Gaza? Well, these must be really big tunnels that you're finding, you know. And there's literally no way getting into Gaza at all. There's a virtual tsunami of trucks parked on the Rafah border, aid trucks that Israel has blocked from entering into Gaza Strip because they're conducting a genocide. I mean, that many aid trucks sitting there. They did let 8 aid trucks in, I think it was yesterday or the day before yesterday. 8 trucks they let in. And what they did was they let the trucks in and they gave the Palestinians 1 minute, 60 seconds to get what you want off these trucks. And that's the end of the aid delivery. And at the end of 60 seconds, they opened fire on the crowds of people coming to collect humanitarian aid.
بعد استلامهم من المساعدات الإنسانية شمال القطاع في حي الزيتون هذه أصواتهم هذه أصوات إطلاق النار هذه هي المصاهم هذه هي المشاهد إطلاق النار على المواطنين أثناء استلامهم للمساعدات الإنسانية
See, this is the Israeli way, folks. These are the cruelest people, and everything they say is backwards. But yeah, the narrative's breaking down. All these claims of rape and all this stuff that they're still pushing. You notice none of the released hostages ever say they were raped. There's been no people come forth, no women come forth and say they were raped. We hear stories from the media that women were raped so hardly and so brutally that their pelvises broke. And yet, we're not seeing any of it. You have a woman come out and say, I was a hostage. I saw women being raped so brutally, but I wasn't raped. No, I wasn't. I'm okay. But I saw people getting raped. Well, why weren't you raped? If they're raping everybody around the clock like you're saying, well, you know, people are seeing it. There's no reports of it. There's no eyewitness reports of it, or there's no first-hand reports of it. There's no evidence been produced at all to justify these claims of rapes. People are still saying there were beheadings. One guy's saying, oh, they cut my head son off and tried to sell it for $10,000. What a ridiculous story. You want to buy a severed head? You just rot there in the corner and stink after a couple of days? Give me 10 grand. Yeah. Who's going to do this? Why would you want to buy a head? You know, it's like the stuff, the Zucker. They just try to make up the most gruesome stories they can to see who can come up with the most gruesome line this day to justify genocide. But it's all falling down. People aren't believing anymore. There's even a UK foreign minister, I think, who signed a petition saying that she doesn't believe the claims of rape. There's been all sorts of outcry about that, of course. But, you know, that's what is going on. There was a young boy released as well, a hostage apparently, who said what an interesting experience it was.
התפילה.
השרשרת המסורתית שלהם, מסבחה קוראים לזה.
מסבחה?
כן, השרשרת שעושים ככה.
מה?
זה על הכיף, אם סובחן אללה, אלחמדולילה, אליל אללה, אללהו אכבר. ומתפללים, אז הם אמרו לי איך להגיד.
Yeah, I was a hostage and it was a great experience. I mean, what do you even say to that sort of stuff, folks? Kind of belies the story that we're hearing from the media. And Hamas themselves published a document as well, saying, we don't rape people. You know, they actually put out, I think, a 7-page document, or it might be a 17-page document. I think there's a 7 in there. I'll find it, and I'll link it. And they're saying, we don't do any of this stuff. We didn't rape anybody. We respect people. You know, we are Muslims, and therefore we don't harm elderly people. We don't harm women. We don't harm children. We're only looking for soldiers. And, of course, you know, Israel will say, oh, this is all propaganda, and they're denying it and all that sort of stuff. But in the same breath, they're saying Hamas is a terrorist force, right? Well, if Hamas is a terrorist force, what would their goal be? It would be to instill terror into people. When ISIS, which we're told is a Muslim extremist terrorist force, which I would suggest isn't, it's actually run by Israel. But a lot of the stuff we saw from ISIS was fake. It was green screen. It wasn't filmed in deserts or anything like that. But we saw some brutality. We saw people getting heads cut off and all sorts of stuff from videos that came out. Because the purpose was to instill terror. You know, the guys from Hamas are walking around with their faces covered. You can't see who they are. If they wanted to instill terror to people, they would be cutting the heads off people. Yet they would be admitting to rape. They would be admitting all this stuff because a terrorist's goal is to instill terror into people. Why are they denying that they've done any of this? What would be the point of carrying out these acts and then denying that you did it if you're actually a terrorist army? It doesn't make any sense. They say the Palestinians use Palestinian children as human shields, yet Israel uses Palestinians as human shields all the time. You know, and they say the Hamas do it, they use Palestinians as human shields because they don't care about the Palestinian life. If that's true, then what's the point of the IDF using Palestinian children as human shields? Wouldn't Hamas just shoot them? What would be the point of doing it? See, it all doubles back on itself and cancels itself out, and none of what they say makes sense. As I've said so many times, with Israel, every accusation is a confession. And that's the way you've got to look at it when they're claiming all these things are happening. It's because they're doing them themselves. But none of it makes any sense. And they're so sadistic, folks. Like, so sadistic, and described by a guy, I can't remember his name, I've got another clip on the website, but he's the son of a general, an IDF general. He's been very outspoken against Israel for a long time. And he points out, he actually calls the IDF the most well-equipped terrorist army on earth, because they really are. And he points out that in the war in 2008, they timed the bombing perfectly for between sessions at school. I'll let you see this for yourself.
And then you've got the Israeli army, which I like to refer to as one of the best trained, best equipped, best fed terrorist organizations in the world. And yes, they have generals and they have nice uniforms, but their entire purpose is terrorism. And just as one example, I'll give you one example. Almost exactly 4 years ago, as Israel began its attack on Gaza, September the 27th, 2008, at 11:25 in the morning. What I refer to as the most shameful day in the Jewish history. The most shameful day in the history of the Jewish people. Israel began carpet bombing Gaza, and on the first day of what was to be a 21-day attack, they dropped 100 tons of bombs. Okay, a one-ton bomb will decimate an entire city block. Gaza is one of the most densely populated places in the world. 800,000 children live in Gaza. 11:25 is exactly the time when the morning school shift and the afternoon school shift change. So all the kids are in the streets. All the children are on the streets. That was the moment decided by the decision makers in Israel to begin the attack.
Yeah, that really explains the mindset of the Israelis, folks. Timed it for 11:25 because they know that's when the school sessions change over and the streets are going to be filled with school children. They're hideous, folks. This is a hideous race of people that do hideous things, which is why they've been expelled from 109 countries 1,030 times. It's no joke what these people are and what they're doing. Yeah, the tunnel system below Brooklyn, what's going on with that? We haven't heard anything about that. It's just completely dropped out of the news. They went in there and they cleansed it and sealed it and stopped all investigation into it. I mean, wouldn't you go in there looking for evidence? There were high chairs in there. There were soiled mattresses in there. There's a lot of stuff that looks like there were children being trafficked through these tunnels. That tunnel in that particular Chabad headquarters went to a Chabad bathhouse. Apparently it also went to a child's museum. Interesting stuff. You look at the amount of children that go missing in the United States every year, folks. Where do you think they're going? Who do you think's doing this? You know, there is talk that that's why they were expelled from so many countries. There was a ritual that I saw recently, the hanging of a child, and people waving toy guns around pretending to shoot the child, one guy bashing and beating up the child while it was hanging, and then them having a big dance about it. I mean, what the fuck sort of a ritual is that? Crazy stuff, folks. But there has been talk coming out from rents.com. And again, folks, if you want some real news about what's going on, forget Alex Jones and stuff. I mean, there's some okay stuff sometimes when Alex Jones, or I mean, he had Abi Yemeni on the other day and interviewed him. I can't believe this guy's been to Gaza. He supports the genocide that's going on in Gaza. He's a total Jewish plant into the resistance. I can't believe Alex Jones had him on. I mean, any respect I had for Alex Jones sort of died with that interview with Abi Yemeni. But so if you want some good information about what's going on, folks, go to rents.com. That's where you'll find real news and from the proper perspective as well. And he is the one who published the video of the 1,030 expulsions. He's also published a video about, you know, what's going on in these Jewish tunnels.
You've now heard about the New York Chabad-Lubavitch tunnels. What is it some Jews do in their synagogues? So what does this sick scene straight out of the Jewish Kabbalah, Book of Black Magic, have to do with the Chabad-Lubavitch headquarters at 770 Eastern Parkway in Crown Heights, Brooklyn, New York? The tunnels from the Chabad-Lubavitch headquarters and synagogue, or shul as Jews call it, lead 274 meters or 900 feet south in the direction but not directly into a Jewish ritual bathhouse at 394 Kingston Avenue, which is linked to a litany of horrific child rape incidents. In November 2023, Jewish Chabad monsters were arrested and charged for monstrous and gruesome acts against children in area schools. Children's items such as high chairs, strollers, diapers, and soiled children's mattresses were found in the tunnels. It's damning and raises many questions that aren't being asked. Why were they there? Cement hurriedly poured into the tunnels on the pretext to ensure the structural integrity of Chabad World Headquarters, and surrounding buildings and streets looks like a quick fix and cover-up insofar as no reinforcement steel or engineered bracing was used. Concrete was hurriedly pumped to encase the tunnel spaces. It looks like sterilizing the crime scene to get rid of evidence. Questions must be asked and answered. The Jewish attack dogs at the discredited Anti-Defamation League is now equating cement truck memes as being anti-Semitic. It's the usual anti-Semitism ADL slur hurled like feces at anyone who questions Jewish mischief, menace, influence peddling or buying, bribing and blackmailing of politicians, media shills, judges, investigators, or critics. We're all awake to the overused anti-Semitism ruse. It no longer works. Jews are behaving badly once again. It's had them expelled from a catalog of host kingdoms, city-states, and nations 1,030 times since 1200 BC to the present. See the full list of expulsions at rents.com. It's one expulsion for almost every 2.5 years from unrelated and disparate societies over time. Jews are generally so odious, as we've seen in Gaza, that they're scrambling to legally weaponize their anti-Semitism brand into hate speech laws worldwide if you question Jews, Israel, or their Holocaust canard, which has been their free pass and justification for their bad behavior, which has inevitably always led to pogroms and expulsions as a defense remedy by civilized society. In some hapless and Jew-captured nations, Jew lobby groups have secured laws to make questioning the Holocaust a crime. Go figure. Asking questions is now a crime. Not believing prescribed Jewish narratives is also a crime. It's 1984 on steroids. The Jewish-owned controlled startups and big tech platforms have been relentlessly censoring anti-Semitism as a community standards infraction. And now the Jews are press-ganging lawmakers worldwide to do their bidding to silence you. Try entering anything unfavorable to Jews in ChatGPT or AI language or graphics platforms, and you'll see they've got built-in guardrails which warn you off. It applies only to Jews. Who has this sort of power over our big tech infrastructure, and how did they get it and enforce it? This New York tunnel matter is very serious. It points to a much bigger and eternal Jewish problem that must be addressed with a lasting solution.
There's a lot of information coming out that it was meant to connect different properties to each other. So, you know, what properties are those?
To travel during COVID. I mean, while you're traveling during COVID, you need to just stop and take a rest with a child on a blood-stained mattress. While you're traveling during COVID, you need to stop. These high chairs here, what are you going to feed your children? I mean, none of this makes any sense. But what makes sense is that these tunnels were filled with kids that were being trafficked and molested and raped, and that these tunnels were filled and built and constructed by pedophiles who wish to engage in child sex trafficking. I'm going to go out on a limb here, make that prediction, and I bet you that will be accurate. What happens? I just can't understand the haste that they are moving to try to fill these tunnels. The only thing that could suggest to me is to destroy evidence.
Keep asking questions about Jews. Keep noticing their undue influence beyond their numbers. It's not a coincidence. keep holding Jews accountable as it leads to Israel, which must be held accountable for wholesale killing of mothers and children in Gaza. Like this mother executed by an Israeli Defense Forces sniper who kills her in front of her little child while holding the distraught mother's hand. The mother and child were with a group of terrorized Palestinian civilians with arms raised and white flags when the mother was summarily shot. Watch as the terrified little child flees. It's gut-wrenching to watch. As a group, Jews don't behave like us. They're more akin to tunnel rats living amongst us, coming up to snatch our children to torture and rape our most precious, just as occurred in Brooklyn. The practice is known as blood libel because it's what their scriptures condone. They won't refute the Talmudic practice. They hide it from the rest of us until images like this arise. We won't show you the tortures and ritual murders. Other programs detail the practice, official records, and evidence of the ritual by Jews over history to the present. The civilization has a big problem again, and it's Jewish in nature. The words of Jesus Christ about the Jews loom large for this generation. We leave you with his warning to all humanity from John 8:44. It reads, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies."
Yeah, I mean, and whether all of that's true, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, but, you know, I'd have to look into a lot of it myself. But yeah, crazy times, folks, crazy times. Big boycott operations happening as well. People are boycotting Israel and Israeli products, Starbucks and stuff like this. Benjamin Netanyahu went out and said, "You can't boycott Israel. We've put laws in place to prevent you from boycotting Israel. You can get in trouble for boycotting Israel."
מי שיחרים אותנו מוחרם בעצמו. בשנים האחרונות קידמנו בארצות הברית, ויש כבר ברוב המדינות שם, חוקים שמי שמחרים את ישראל נענש בעצמו. אז זה לא יעזור להם. אנחנו לא מתרגשים מזה, ואנחנו נלחמים בזה.
Oh, really? Now, how does this work? What, if I go and buy a can of soda? No, you can't do that. You've got to buy Coca-Cola or Pepsi because they're Israeli companies. Why? If I go and buy a cup of coffee, what, I can't buy it from a barista somewhere? I got to go and buy Starbucks because it's an Israeli company. Or if you go and shop at a barista store or a coffee shop that isn't Starbucks, that could be seen as boycotting Israel, and you're not allowed to do that. I mean, how do they enforce this shit? You mean you've got laws in place to prevent people from boycotting Israel? Netanyahu is so full of shit. He's so full of shit. And he's such a terrorist. He's an absolutely criminally insane psychopath. Just an absolutely disgusting person. You know, he predicted 9/11 was going to happen as well, folks. He predicted 9/11 was going to happen. He predicted that Islamic extremists would attack the World Trade Center.
I wrote a book in 1995, and I said that if the West doesn't wake up to the suicidal nature of militant Islam, the next thing you'll see is the militant Islam is bringing down the World Trade Center.
Yeah, and we all know about the five dancing Israelis there that day. We know about the group of people that were in there very likely laying charges as well. I mean, the whole thing has Israeli fingerprints all over it, folks. So there's no question about that. And the wheels are falling off that as well. Nobody believes in the Holocaust anymore. Like it's like 64% of people or something are saying that's a myth. And they're kind of concerned about that. They probably should be, because once people wake up to what a scam the Holocaust is, what it's done to the German people, I mean, it is the cruelest lie that was ever perpetrated upon our society, folks. I mean, so many people let these Jews get away with so much because of the Holocaust narrative. And Germany has been destroyed. It's just kids in Germany who want to kill themselves just because they were born German, because they believe in the Holocaust. They believe that they committed this terrible crime. Germany's been milked dry of money. It's been brutalized for the last 80 years over this Holocaust narrative. And they've been paying for a crime that they simply didn't commit. And again, it's a very, very cruel lie, not only for the German people, but for the people of the world. You know, you look at this terrible tale of what was done to people. Oh, my God. I mean, if that was real, it would be horrific. But the thing is, it is real to a degree, is that's what happened during Bolshevism, and that's what happened at Holodomor, and that's what's happening to the people of Gaza now. You know, every accusation is a confession, folks. They tell you what they're doing. They show you what it's all about, and they deny that they're doing it, and they invert everything. They're even saying now that the Palestinians are claiming that they want to steal the land, and you know, the river to the sea is a call for the genocide of the Jewish people. Yet the Jewish people use this same line, say the river to the sea, Israel is all you'll see. But we're told that isn't a call for genocide of the Palestinian people, because there is no Palestine. It's always been Israel. It's remarkable. And the problem is that this is what the kids are taught through school, which is kind of why they've left it for now. We've got two or three generations have come up since Israel was formed. Now, it came there to be, you know, to have a safe place to go and end up taking over the country. And we've got people that have grown up through that scholastic system who honestly believe it. And there was even another Jewish lady, I think she might be a minister, an ex-minister or something like that, who put out a video and a discussion saying that the Israeli scholastic system is borderline child abuse simply because of the false history that they teach them.
We have an organization called Breaking the Silence, where soldiers confess what they did in the West Bank. And many of these confessions, the soldiers say, I was educated to believe that whatever I do to the Palestinians will save us from another Holocaust. Mm-hmm. And only when I aimed my rifle at a little girl, I realized that I was the evil one. Mm-hmm. And then I stopped. So this education is so entrenched.
Yeah, it's horrible stuff, folks, horrible stuff. Another rabbi dressed in military gear in Gaza, saying that they're going to bring the 10 plagues on the people of Gaza because that's what happened to the Jews in the past.
כמובן שאנחנו שמחים שהם קיבלו את המכות, וגם הם יקבלו מכות. אבל המכות היו בשביל עם ישראל. אחרי שהקדוש ברוך הוא שיבל אותנו למצרים, אז לפעמים יש נתק בין ההורים, אז גם הבן לא רוצה לחזור. צריך לעשות חידוש קשר. ואיך עושים חידוש קשר? הקדוש ברוך הוא נותן להם מכה, ועוד מכה, ועוד מכה, ועוד מכה. ועם ישראל רואה כמה הקדוש ברוך הוא אוהב אותנו. ואז הם יוצאים, עם ישראל יוצא ביחד כעם, שדבק בקדוש ברוך הוא. אז אנחנו פה מלב חאן יונס מחכים למכות ולאותות שהקדוש ברוך הוא נותן, כי התהליך הזה הוא חייב לקרות, תהליך של חידוש קשר בין עם ישראל לקדוש ברוך הוא, והוא יקרה והוא קורה. ובמלחמה הזאת אנחנו רואים שיש חידוש קשר, יש דברים שהיו רדומים מתחת לפני השטח, פתאום הם צפים והם יצופו, ובעזרת השם נזכה לגאולת עולמים ותשועת עולמים. שלום וכל טוב בלב חאן יונס.
Yeah, so, I mean, remember, this is all about destroying Amalek. You know, that Amalek rhetoric that Bibi Netanyahu had in his opening speech about this ongoing war, which isn't a war, it's a genocide. You know, the goal is to destroy Amalek, and they want to bring the 10 plagues upon the people. And they're brutal, folks, with what they're doing. There's another report that I came out, again, hard to confirm, but I wouldn't put it past them to be doing this. And bear in mind, as I've said before, when you look at a food aid package that is dropped down to anybody in these war zones, like in Iraq and Afghanistan, when they were dropping food aid to the people, the food aid is in a yellow package, and it's exactly the same yellow as a cluster bomb. So, you know, people would see these bits of yellow sticking up from the dirt, and they'd go to pick them up and thinking it's a food aid package, and it would be a cluster bomb, it would blow both their arms off. That happened so much through the Iraq war. And now I'm told, and there's video which would indicate that Israel is leaving, the IDF are actually leaving tinned food packages around the place, what looks like, you know, a burnt tin. You can't tell what's in it. It's a burnt tin, it's got a ring on the top, a little key that you open the tin with, so obviously it's food. And they're leaving these around the place, but they're actually packed with explosives. They're detonating food cans so that a hungry child, hungry woman comes along, sees this old burnt can, thinks, well, there's actually still food that's good on the inside of that. As soon as I open it, it explodes and kills them.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. طبعا هذه العلب اللي شايفينها في الصورة هي عبارة عن علبة متواجد فيها صواعق، للأسف الشديد بعض هندسة المتفجرات في محافظة خان يونس عثرت عليها خلال جولة لهم في إحدى مدارس الوكالة، بتم توزيعهم على أنهم علب لحمة من مخلفات الاحتلال، واتضح أنه موجود داخل كل علبة صاعق، زي ما أنتم شايفين هذه هي صواعق خطيرة جدا. في حال فتح العلبة بطريقة ما بيتم تفجيرها بشكل مباشر، ما يؤدي إلى بتر بشكل أو قتل الأطفال الموجودين اللي بيلعبوا فيها. فهذا تنويه طبعا للجميع، وياريت الكل يكون ناخد احتياط.
Yeah, pretty disgraceful stuff, folks. And like I said, I wouldn't be at all surprised if that was true. But again, all of this is becoming public knowledge now. People are seeing Israel as the pariah that it is. I don't think it can survive this. People just have to see what the bigger picture is around this. Like I said, the whole One Belt, One Road system, the whole concept they want to put in the Ben Gurion Canal. But I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that doesn't even happen. I wouldn't be surprised if a Palestinian state comes out of this. I really wouldn't. No matter how many Palestinians die, I can't see Israel ever recovering its position. It may still believe that it holds sway over governments, and it may well hold sway over a lot of governments and a lot of politicians. But ultimately, it's whether we comply with it. And with so many people seeing this now, I mean, like I've said so many times, your government's invalid. Why are you even believing a word they say? Everything that they've done, the support they've shown for genocide through all this, it invalidates their very position. It invalidates their very existence. They can't claim themselves to be a government of the people. They're certainly not acting for the people. The only person who's really been speaking out about it from a government perspective is this incredibly wonderful Irish politician, a woman, who's been absolutely nailing it to the United States and nailing Israel to the wall.
Despite the catastrophic debt toll it has inflicted, Israel is losing on the ground and in the court of public opinion. There's no way that this ends that doesn't leave Israel a pariah state with occupation and apartheid on borrowed time, and they know it. So they're doing everything they can. Desperate acts of aggression to provoke a wider conflict with Lebanon, with Iran, with anybody, to draw in the US, to save them from the consequences of their own actions. And as Yemen shows, Butcher Biden is reporting for duty. With Europe's frau genocide by his side, they are the ones who have enabled the continuation of Israeli terror. Without them, it would already be over. So take note, Butcher Biden. The ancestors of the Ireland that you claim to be from disown you. And as for von der Leyen and genocidal Germany, with your words and deeds supporting Israel in the ICJ, not in our name. The people of Europe stand with Palestine and with South Africa.
Very, very good. And the Irish know what's going on. But by the same token, look what's happening in Ireland. It's great that she's speaking out about Palestine and stuff, but how much effort is she putting into what's actually going on in Ireland? You know, white races are being wiped out right around the world, all of our countries, folks, with this migrant influx into Europe, the migrant influx into the UK, into Ireland, into Australia. I believe they're bringing 1 million Africans in over the next year into Australia. Who knows, they might have already done it. You've got to wonder why. And all of this cultural war that they want to create on the ground, this is happening in all countries. People would wonder why, you know, when the white race has been destroyed, why are you putting so much emphasis on Palestine and worried about these little Muslim towel wearers? It's not about that. It's about the political situation. It's about humanity. And as I've said, folks, I've traveled to so many countries, and some of the nicest, most generous, kindest, most humble people I've ever met were the Palestinians. Speaking of which, I heard from my friend Nidal the other day as well, yesterday. He sent me a link. There's a woman in Canada who has set up a fundraiser for him because he's in a pretty bad state. He said to me, because I said to him, like, if someone sets up a fundraiser for you, can you actually access the funds? I mean, how is this going to work? He said, yeah, well, you know, GoFundMe doesn't usually work in Palestine. They won't send the funds to Palestine in case they're supporting terrorism and Hamas. But they will sort of send the funds to a Canadian bank account, and then she can transfer them over into Nadal's account. And apparently, he knows this woman. He's known her for about 10 years. And he's the one who actually contacted me and said, Max, can you help me share this fundraiser? Because he's living in a little wooden shack, a little makeshift wooden shack with four generations of his family. He's the oldest member. So it's up to him to look after all his siblings. He's got a little two-year-old girl called Siwa. Gorgeously cute little thing. And he's a wonderful guy, and he's a dear friend of mine. So if you're able to throw a few dollars into this fundraiser, I would really appreciate it, and so would Nadal. And like I said, I mean, I believe it's completely on the level, because it isn't like someone just set up a fundraiser for Palestine. Nadal himself contacted me and said, yeah, this woman is a good friend. I've known her for many years, and she assures me she can transfer the money to his bank. Because he can still access banks in Rafah. There is still some businesses open in the very, very bottom of southern Rafah. So, you know, we've got to get this aid to them while we can. And keep attention on this, folks. We can't let this slide. I mean, it all ties into everything else. And people are, you know, too worried about, you know, all this other bullshit, the Western trappings of the world and their own personal success and all that sort of crap, which is good. I mean, you want to be successful. But I think we're kind of past that. I mean, I think what you're sold as success isn't really success at all. Success is being the best person you can possibly be. It isn't having a lot of money or having a lot of things. You know, money can help, of course. You know, it takes stress out of your life. But really rich people, I mean, they go for this thing that they think is there. I'll be really rich and then the world will be my oyster. I'll be in this special place. I mentioned before, the 80-year-old guy I saw on the beach, he did all that and then was sitting there crying because he missed out on his life because he thought it was this dream that he had to chase. The thing that happens, you know, when you get lots of money and you reach that place where you think the dream lives, there's nothing there. It's just empty. That's why a lot of really rich people, they can have anything they want. They can buy anything they want, go anywhere they want. Money's no object. There's no struggle in life at all. They get really bored. So they start doing really perverse things with children or whatever. They're looking for the next big thrill because all the thrill is gone because they've got everything that they can possibly have within the parameters of the system. So they don't actually have to want for anything. I remember a little anecdote by, guitar player from, Kurt Cobain. Kurt Cobain. Like, he killed himself, of course. But he said in one interview, he said, when I was a kid, I used to go to the main street of town, and I'd go to the music shop and I'd see this guitar up on the shelf, on the wall, hanging there. I'd fall in love with this guitar and I'd want that guitar so much. And I'd struggle and I'd work and I'd scrimp and I'd save up every penny I've got, and then I'd go and I'd buy that guitar. And the feeling I got from doing that was incredible, exhilarating. He said, now I'm a multi-millionaire. If I want a guitar, I can just go and buy the whole shop. So there's no thrill in that at all. I can have anything I want. It doesn't matter. None of it means anything to me anymore because I can have it all. You know, I can have it all now if I want. What for? I mean, what do I got to hope for? What are my aspirations and my dreams for? What, I want to write a hit song so I can make $1 million? I already did that. You know, like I said, there's nothing that I want that I can't have. Nothing that I can look at and think, wow, one day, you know? That exhilaration, that thrill, that appreciation for stuff. The fact that you have to work to get it, I mean, this, you know, you often don't think about it. Of course, you don't want to be struggling for it and go your whole life without it and work 20 years to finally get this one thing that you wanted. Of course not, but you know, I think you understand what I'm saying here. I mean, that thrill is gone for a lot of people who are really rich, which is why they get trapped into doing all these really perverse things and all this shit that they do. So, you know, and what we've got here, and all of that is based on the parameters of the system, is because, you know, people think the system is real. People think that the only thing they've got to aspire to are things designated to them by the system. You know, you can have the big house with the big front door and the Ferrari car and the latest sound system and, You can go to all these high-class clubs and eat the food that's on their menu and all the stuff that's, you know, government-designated enjoyment zones. You can go and do this. Of course, soon you'll only be able to do all that stuff if you've had your jab. But they don't realise that there's so much more to life. I mean, just coming and sitting in the forest, coming and sitting in places like the Secret Garden here and just experiencing nature, experiencing yourself. That's why I say you shouldn't meditate, you shouldn't do all of these things because it's bad for you, it's against God or whatever, which is all bullshit. They don't want you looking at the world and seeing it for what it really is. They want you to aspire to all of their false aspirations. Yeah, but like I said, if you really get there, you really get to the top, you find that there's just nothing there. There's nothing there and there never was anything there. Everything that you really need is here. It's all around you in nature. And it's in your heart. You know, you don't need to do what they tell you you have to do. And I think this is becoming clear and apparent to people now, which is why I think they have these resets when they do. And try to milk as much of your soul as possible along the way. Harvest as much as your soul as possible. Interesting that conversation about DNA the other day, don't you think? When I was suggesting that we actually come back, we don't live other lives, we come back and repeat this very same life over and over again. Perhaps we don't look the same, perhaps we do, I don't know. Hard to know what you really look like. All you've got is a mirror, and I don't know whether that's even true. But even when you look in a mirror, you're looking at yourself in reverse. It's a weird thing. You're not really seeing yourself for what you look like. But I was speculating that we come back and we live this same life over and over again, and that's what deja vu is. That's why we have deja vu, because we keep going down the same path and making the same mistakes. And it's ultimately all about harvesting your soul, and that when you actually find your true path and step onto a path that may possibly lead you away from the matrix and lead you back to connect with source, with spirit, with God, whatever you want to call it, then the deja vu stop. I found it interesting. I was having a conversation with Miriam Heinen, and she was saying, well, deja vu is actually one of the side effects of the jab, which is amazing, and it kind of almost confirms what I'm saying. This place is really coming along, folks. Big, clear area happening here. Lots of work being done to remove broken trees and broken stuff. Still bits of bendy bamboo and bendy sort of stuff, and all, you know, a lot of stuff's still pretty messed up. But it's coming along really, really well and really quickly. We're doing a lot of really good work on the restaurant as well. And Acapulco is in about, I don't know, 3 weeks. 3 weeks, not very long. What's it start on the 11th? What is it now? It's around about the 24th. 24th, so yeah, it's maybe 16 to 17 days away in Acapulco, 18 days, something like that. Looking forward to it. It's going to be good. So, and they're really going hard and getting the place fixed up. I don't know where I was going or what I was saying, but I was saying something. And yeah, I mean, there's still a lot of work to be done. A lot of the cabanas still aren't happening. There's one over there that's sort of being rebuilt. There was one down here. Maybe that'll be up and running. Who knows? Looks like they've got a floor plate down. But yeah, coming along, folks, coming along. But I think that's all I got to say. I've been kind of babbling and rambling a little bit. I've been so busy, folks. And as I said before, we are going to be opening another bar, and it's not me doing it this time. It's going to be sort of my bar in name. You know, my face will be attached to it. I'll be there, of course. A lot of the stuff in the bar will be mine, but it's actually being run by four other people. So I don't actually have to do it, so I won't be exhausted. We'll just be able to hang out. It's going to be cool. I mean, it still needs a lot of work. It's not going to be as pretty as the other bar. Maybe it will in 6 months from now, but it's going to take a little while to get it all up and running and get it all beautified. But there's a pool there. It's kind of an outdoor-y sort of a place. It's upstairs, nice sky to look at, shade cloth tables. Yeah, it'll be good. It'll be good. We'll be able to live stream the event there as well in Acapulco. I've got a ticket so I can live stream it, of course, and we'll be doing that at the bar. So yeah, I'll look, the door's open to this little place. Let's go in and have a quick look. I mean, you've seen this place quite often when I've walked past, Now you actually have a quick look inside.
We're welcome to come in.
Have a look at the place. Oh, thank you, brother. Nice to see you in here.
Yeah, I'm very glad.
I've seen this place from the outside so many times, but I've never shown them the inside of it.
Feel very welcome.
It's beautiful. This building survived, of course. Made of concrete, folks.
Yeah, totally survived. Just we lost the roof.
Yeah, that's all good. Good to see you, brother.
Good to see you too, Max. Very openly now.
Thank you. That's one of the owners of the Secret Garden, folks. You see people, the trolls, coming to my channel saying, oh, I've spoken to the owners of the Secret Garden, and Jeff Berwick's gone bankrupt, and Max isn't allowed to speak there anymore, all sorts of shit that people post on my channel. Don't believe any of it, folks. Any of these things that you see, most of them are asking you to go and switch all your donations over to a certain Patreon account, Talpiot Patreon account, which is an Australian guy called Brendan O'Connell, who's been trying to steal my donations for years. I mean, he's a strange, strange guy. He's fixated on little fish. Like, he wants to attack me, he wants to attack Whitney Webb. He just finds people that are getting a lot of views, and he makes, you know, hit video pieces and hit pieces on them to try to attract all of their viewers over to him. And he's got all of his stuff behind a paywall anyway. And he's often putting comments on my videos, like you put like 300 or 400, 500 comment replies, telling people that no, Max is finished and he wants you to transfer all your donations over to this Patreon account. As you know, this is abuse of his account. I mean, if I was to report him to Patreon, I'm sure he'd get his Patreon page shut down. I don't know, it's just not the sort of person that I am. But yeah, I mean, all the stuff that he's doing, it's all breaking their rules and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, I'm getting off on another topic. I don't usually talk about the hit piece stuff, but just be aware that this is happening, because I do see hit pieces all the time. I got there this morning and there was like 15 or 16 comments, all by different places, all that had opened within the last like 15 minutes, all by the same person, of course, all supporting each other. Yeah, so this is the sort of stuff that happens, folks. I've never seen so many new accounts open in one day and doing what they're doing and supporting each other and just doing these massive sort of hit pieces. So it isn't just one account making multiple comments, it's multiple accounts making comments that support each other, but obviously it's all the one person. A new method of trolling, folks, so just be aware of that. Now, they want me to shut down the comments section on my BitChute page, which I just won't do, because you know, a lot of people share a lot of good information in the comments section, and you know, a lot of people connect through the comments section, and it's just another way of shutting down free speech and shutting down our communication and making sure that we can't really function properly, you know, and that we you know, become more and more isolated, which a lot of what the internet's done. And we think it's made us more connected, but really it's made us more isolated. People have really lost a lot of their life skills. See young kids texting each other from across the room because they don't really know how to communicate with each other. People are often scared of actually showing their real self to people as well, because of course you've got all these filters and stuff on TikTok now, and on, I suppose they're on Instagram and, you know, on social media. You got all these TikTok filters which will take all your wrinkles out and beautify you and make you virtually look like a different person. Use your face to shape it and all that. But they make you look like a different person, far more attractive than you actually are. And of course, that's what it's all about these days, folks. It isn't the quality of your character, it's how attractive you are to the opposite sex. People have lost the concept of what male and female relationships are. Of course, the transgender movement isn't helping that. These delusional transgender people all over the place. But people have lost their confidence in themselves as well. I mean, they get these movie stars and all these models in magazines which are all designed to make them feel bad. That's what most beauty magazines are about, folks. They're designed to make you feel bad, especially if you're a woman. They really nail it to you if you're a woman. They want to sell you all their products and all this bullshit and make it all about looks. And, you know, a lot of people can't afford that. So they can just go onto TikTok and they can put a filter on their voice and they can start chatting to people online, open up a OnlyFans site or whatever, which is ridiculous, folks. If you're a young woman, don't open up an OnlyFans site and think that you're going to make your way through life like selling soft porn or even hard porn to people. It's not going to work. I mean, you can filter yourself up and make yourself look like this beautiful thing and do these sort of porn videos and shit, but this is a limited hangout. It's not going to help you in your life. It's not going to create a meaningful relationship with anybody. Even the guys that would go and watch that shit. Is that the sort of guy you want to have as a husband? What, you're going to marry some guy if you know he's off at work looking at OnlyFans of other women and all this sort of stuff? And what guy is going to want to marry a woman who just was putting out porn on the internet for thousands upon thousands of people to see? You know, it's a limited hangout. You think it's leading to that place that doesn't exist, that place where you've made it and you're a star. You know, another new Kim Kardashian. Everyone molds themselves off Kim Kardashian. It's just crazy, folks, and it's all completely the wrong way for people to be going. You don't need any of that shit. I'll be getting back to the filters and stuff. I mean, people make themselves, remake themselves into something that they're not, and then this totally isolates them because, well, you're gonna make yourself into this beautiful looking human being that you're not, because it's all about looks, of course, not about the quality of your character. And then you're going to meet someone and actually like them and actually fall in love with them and then want to meet them in the real world. And then when you do meet them, you find that they look nothing like what they showed you. And it gets to the point that, do you even want to meet them? Because you're nothing like what you showed them either. And so we become scared, we become more isolated. You know, people are virtually living in avatars now. You know that old movie Surrogate, Bruce Willis and someone else, and they had young avatars of themselves. They were just lying in pods and these avatars were walking around doing all this stuff. Well, they're always young and beautiful. We're doing that now in the virtual world with the filters on TikTok and all this sort of stuff. These are just like avatars that people are creating off their own bodies. And all the facial recognition scans and all the sort of stuff they have to do to get it, like you're literally giving all your data to the AI. It's ridiculous. If people who sign up to ChatGPT, you've got to give it your phone number and all sorts of stuff to sign up to. It's got to be done through a cell phone, apparently. And so, you know, once it gets your cell phone number, it gets your entire browsing history, knows everything about you that's ever happened since like 1995, since Windows came out, before 1995. So yeah, I mean, all of this stuff is a trap, and it's all designed to lead you away from yourself, which is a lot of what this system tries to do. And we're almost seeing humanity kind of split in two. We're seeing humanity, like I said, it's a form of soul purification. You've got a lot of people that are locked into this world, locked into all this OnlyFans shit and locked into these filters and this superficial bullshit, chasing this dream because they think that's what it is, and that when you get there, you've made it, you've got to the place, not realizing that there is no place. But when you get there, there's nothing there. You spend all your life climbing over these hurdles and conquering all these fictitious little barriers that you think are there, which are all put there for you by the system to make you think like you're doing something and conquering something and you're getting somewhere, the path to success, all that sort of crap. You get there and there's nothing there. There's just nothing there at all. You're just where you were, only you're 20 or 30 years older. You might have a bit of money in the bank, but what are you going to do with it? You've already been everywhere and done everything and bought everything you want. I mean, what else are you going to do with it? Just use it to party? Well, you could have done that before without all the bullshit that you just went through. People are seeing this, but you know, like I said, society is splitting in two. So you've got the people that followed that path and still think it's real. They're going to sit there in complete frustration, and they're not going to know what to do with themselves when the collapse comes. When the US dollar goes down, when World War III breaks out, or you know, however they play it, these people are not going to know what to do. But you will, because as I've said, you can walk the path of the warrior. You can face infinity without flinching. And I know I say it over and over again, folks. But you've got to be able to do it. You know, if I couldn't do it, I wouldn't be here now. I would have still been in Australia. I would have got arrested. Would have probably got killed. Could have got shut down the way the trains did. But you have to be able to do it. You have to be able to apply it to your life, because the world's going to change. It could change into anything at any second. The only thing that is consistent about life is change. And that change can be incredibly sudden. It will come in the form of an earthquake or a hurricane or simply World War III, or simply the system collapsing, the dollar collapsing. Could come in all sorts of forms. Could come in the form of a migrant uprising in your country, which is very much on the cards, folks. Could come in any way, shape or form. And when that happens, you need to be able to face it. A world of infinite possibility. Face it, okay, this is what's happening now. Now I've got to step onto this path and be prepared for it and just walk that path. The path of the warrior, folks. no stake in the outcome. You're able to throw yourself to the wind. You can face a world of infinite possibility with serenity. Odds and circumstances that were not included in your calculations, and you can just say, okay, well, this is what's happened now. No good panicking, no good freaking out. Now I've got to step onto this path. Because that's kind of what's coming. I think 2024 is going to be a really interesting year. But another interesting thing about it is that they're so behind schedule with everything. So behind schedule. I think even AI is behind schedule. And when I said 2025, our relationship with the internet is going to change, that might even be pushed back to 26 or 27 now. Because a lot of people aren't buying into this whole smart grid. For AI to take the control that it needs to, autonomic intelligence, autonomic virtual life, to take control the way it needs to really control everything, everyone's got to be into that digital system. Everyone's got to be on ChatGPT. Everyone's got to be on digital cash. Everybody's got to be on digital identity. Everybody's got to be on social crediting. Are they going to be able to pull off World War III quick enough to move us into that Chinese system by the end of the year? I don't think so. I think they've overstepped their mark with Israel and Gaza. I think it's woken a lot of people up. And I think they're way behind schedule. As I've mentioned to other people on interviews recently, that old plan back in 2007 that we heard about that came in after 9/11, where they said they wanted to take over 7 countries in 5 years, that was 2007. I don't see them taking over 7 countries in 5 years, folks, from 2007, do you? So they're way behind schedule. They're at least like almost 20 years behind schedule in what they want to do. And nobody's taking them seriously anymore. I mean, the more power the power elites try to exert over people, the less powerful they look. They're just looking plain stupid now. I think a lot of this genocide in Gaza is what's doing it. It's what's helping wake people up. And it still could go in any direction, of course. But I see something really positive coming out of this year's events. They're going to try. But it's going to be determined by what we do. And, you know, if enough people can get a little bit of focus on their own lives and get a little bit of focus on their own personal power, then we got this. And it's not going to stop it getting ugly. It's going to get real ugly. A lot of people are going to die. A lot of real estate is going to get destroyed. You're probably going to see dollar crashes and all sorts of shit. The weather war is going on in Australia at the moment. Just bombarding these people with hurricanes and cyclones and floods and all sorts of crap. In the place where I used to live there, last time I spoke to the landlord, it had no electricity for a week and no internet for a month. That's about a month and a half now, I think. Still got no internet out there. So, and they got another hurricane or cyclone coming. And so they're really trying to push it. It's everything they can do to distract you. Fires, hurricanes, cyclones, wars, financial crashes, disease X. Everything they can. Fear, 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 fear. Like they're laying it on so thick at the moment that it shows you just how scared they are and how behind they are. They're really, really pushing it. There's even a talk at Davos or at the World Economic Forum where Klaus Schwab said, you know, people are pushing back. There's a new thing called libertarianism, which is kind of an anti-system system. And, you know, people just aren't doing what they're told anymore. So they know. They know. And I think they're kind of freaking out, folks. I really do. I mean, they're still confident. I mean, they're still going to try. They're still going to really push it because they're kind of ruled by their desires and by their hubris. But I think the hubris is what's going to be their undoing because I don't think people are going to go along with any of this. Anyway, folks, I'm going to leave it there for now because I'm going to run out of battery in a minute. I should have an extra battery soon, folks. It'll be a disaster for you then. I'll be doing like 2-hour videos because the battery gives me an extra 2 hours battery life. So I'll be able to do 3-hour videos if I want to. That'll be a nightmare for a lot of you people, I would think. But that could be coming. Apparently a guy's going to bring a battery down to me at the conference anyway, which is really good. And I really totally appreciate you doing that, brother. But yeah, I've got a couple of interviews coming up. I probably won't get another video done until the middle of next week. We've got a lot of work to do on this new Casa de los Cuervos that we're opening, the new bar / restaurant / music event / hangout, which is really going to be fun. But like I said, it's a very different place. It's not going to be quite as aesthetically pleasing as the old dive bar was, because we haven't got any murals on the wall or anything yet, but it'll all come on. It's a very, very different type of venue. But yeah, I've got a lot of work to do on that. I've got a couple of interviews. There's two that I've already done. One of them's been posted, one of them hasn't. I will be posting both of them next week sometime, and I'll try to get another video report done for you as well. I'm trying to get onto the emails, folks. I really am. There's another new documentary film out as well. It's only short, it's like half an hour long. I'll flash it up onto the screen here. I'll probably upload that for you to my channel as well next week. I haven't looked at it yet. The author of the documentary sent me a link to it and said he'd appreciate it if I would upload it to my channel. And I very likely will. I just haven't had time to watch it yet. So I kind of like to watch things before I upload them. But thank you for that contact as well. Shout out to Foundering as well, who is a piano player who does sort of classical stuff paying out on the system. I'll probably include some of his music either in this report or in some future reports. I think Jeff's included some of his stuff as well. I think he's commented on my channel a few times as well. I've seen the name, so check him out, folks. I'll see if I can find his channel and put a link down below. And yeah, some great music from the guy. But yeah, that's about it. Thank you to everybody out there who sends me kind emails. Thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution to the website. Thank you to all the people on the front line speaking out. I mean, this is the moment. This is our moment, folks. This is our year. We can turn this around. We can't turn it around into back to what it was. I mean, it's never going to go back to what it was. But what it was a slavery system. What it was bullshit anyway, folks. I mean, what it was not freedom. And what we've got a chance of turning this into could be something that actually does resemble freedom. So I think it's important to keep that focus as well. But don't think we're ever going back to what we were, because we're not. The system, that system is gone now. They want their system to come online, their great reset. But we have an opportunity to turn this back into a libertarian society, back into a real society of cooperative people who all respect and support each other. We have a chance to do that. It's going to be an ugly process. Either way, it's going to get ugly, because they're not going to go down without a fight. Absolutely not. But, you know, we have an opportunity to turn it in the direction we want to turn it into, folks. We shouldn't lose sight of that. And, you know, I'm actually incredibly excited to be here. Hola. I'm actually incredibly excited, hola, to be here at this time and to be part of it. It's a huge honour, folks. As I've said to other people, you couldn't get through this. You wouldn't have come here if you couldn't get through this. You can get through this. This is the big test. And you're up for it. You can do it. Otherwise, you wouldn't have put yourself in this position. A lot of us, I think, chose to be here for this because it's important. But anyway, folks, I'm going to leave it there for now. It's always a pleasure to come and talk to you. I will look forward to talking to you again probably next week. There'll be a couple of interviews posted between now and then I will do another video for you, hopefully sometime early next week, set up of the bar permitting. Got a lot of work to do there as well. But anyway, folks, I'll leave it for now. Please take very good care until we speak next in Lakesh.
And if we do not deal with ourselves and face ourselves and heal this moral dilemma, then the way of Palestine will be the way of the world.